Welcome back. Pull your chair back up to the table. Matthew 23, the preacher preaches, "For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces." Whoa. Whoa. How can you preach that?
Is that like hold your horses, whoa, or what?
No, I don't think that's that kind of a whoa.
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly.
So it's spelled differently. You know, it's not the W-H-O-A.
No, this is... How would you interpret that? Woe as in, oh, the woes of hell. This is the biggest red flag you could throw up, woe.
Yeah, because this is salvation at stake, woe.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me, woe.
It's Revelation, woe, as you read in the book of Revelation.
Oh, there you go, being biblical.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that. I'll repent of that. I'm
no.
So sorry.
Go ahead.
Let me do institutional talk.
I forgot.
Let me do institutional talk.
I thought you were Lutheran.
Let me call the lawyer. That's institution talk. Sorry about that, folks.
So Jesus.
Another slippage. I'm in such a fog, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah. Well, they'll decipher. I'm sure Adam runs this all through a big filter before he puts it on the radio.
Yeah, that's why there's, what is there, like 2 minutes of it that he can salvage?
Poor Adam. Matthew 23, Jesus is teaching the crowds and his disciples, and he has pointed out the scribes and the Pharisees. And we talked about how they don't practice what they preach.
That's right, and that's why he calls them hypocrites, and that's why I go back to... In the first part of our session when we were just, you know, sitting down with our cup of coffee, again, the fig tree, you know, it looks vibrant. It appears to be something that's really good, but it's not. And that's a hypocrite. A hypocrite pretends to be something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so woe to you. And that's the judgment. And again, the theme, we've talked about this before. This continues. One of the themes, again, in Matthew's gospel, you don't believe in Jesus. You reject his word. Well, the judgment day judgment not only comes at the end of time, but it actually comes in the present through the preaching of Jesus when he says, "Woe to you hypocrites."
So Jesus is the Messiah. We referenced his baptism earlier. At his baptism, the heavens were opened. In other words, in this one, the heavens are opened. And now this one is saying to them, look, you're shutting heaven.
Yes.
By your false teaching.
Notice, too, again, he is using the very office of the keys that he has instituted in Matthew 16 and 18, which he has given to his church. And so Jesus, as the head of a new humanity, is the second and the last Adam, but also the apostle, the one sent by the Father, to use the language of John. Jesus now actually uses the very things. And so he's binding them when he says, woe to you. Do you want to shut the kingdom? Okay, I'll shut it. The key's locked. The door's locked.
The words I speak to you are not my own. They are the words of the one who sent me. In other words, God sent me to tell you. I mean, this is what the preacher does when he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. God sent me to tell you. And it's a word of law and gospel.
And notice it's not just God generic, it's God the Father, which he's always referenced in Matthew's gospel, which, pardon my language, is huge. Sorry about that, I had to say it. And you know, the more that I'm made fun of by saying huge, the more that when I watch the Golf Channel or ESPN and Sports Center, guess what adjective they always use or adverb? They'll always use it adjectively or adverbally. Huge. So I'm not alone.
They've been cool-manized.
No, I've just been sports-centered. That's the thing.
All right. Cart before the horse.
Verse 15 is where we're at, right?
I believe so.
Go.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Another woe. Not woe, Nelly. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And then he becomes, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves.
Well, you know, I'm going to say something about that in a minute, but did you count how many woes there are in this chapter?
Is there seven?
There's seven. So if you've been, you know what we're talking, well, complete judgment here.
The whole enchilada.
Well, and again, notice how this works also in the book of Revelation when you've got the seven seals opened and then you have seven trumpets and then you have seven bowls. From the movement from seals to bowls, it goes from partial judgment to when you get to bowls, it's total judgment. And so now with Jesus, you have judgment when the woes come out. This is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will not repent, it won't just be a partial, it'll be total.
Right.
So notice how Scripture hangs together here with this. Oh, what was I going to say? So again, he does these woes, and each time he speaks a woe to a hypocrite, he is showing that their will and their words don't match Christ's will in obedience to his Father and his words. So Jesus, who is the Son of God, what does he do? He makes his followers, what? Children of the Heavenly Father, free sons and daughters, as he has spoken in Matthew 5, verse 45, or in Matthew 17, 26. But what do the scribes and Pharisees do, as you just read?
Child of hell.
Wow. They make their converts children of hell, if you will. Again, what an indictment. It's really important.
It's a stark contrast.
Yeah. So salvationly serious, as I like to say. This this has everything to do with these people's salvation and ours as well.
And a hellacious judgment.
Yes.
As you like to say.
Yeah. Jesus is also the light. You know, that's Matthew 4:16. He is the shepherd, if you will, that guides and he tends the harassed and helpless flock. Matthew 9:36, if you remember. But they are what? They're blind guides that do what? Lead their followers into destruction with their frivolous teaching concerning an oath. Whereas Jesus simply said, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Words spoken in the presence of God. Okay. But that's the next verses.
Yeah, that's the, I think, what is this, the third woe then?
Yes.
So it says, woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it.
Yeah, yeah.
Blind hypocrites.
That's right, that's right.
Blind fools.
Yep. And then verse 23, woe to you. This is the fourth one, right?
Right.
Fourth woe.
Right.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. They didn't just tithe money. Notice what they tithe.
Oh, yeah.
From the very little things in their garden. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. I mean, they're so concerned about, well, we've got to give the cumin and the mint and the, what was the other?
Dill.
Dill, yeah, dill that you put in your pickle.
Very small, fine herbs,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, dill pickle is all I can think of when I hear dill.
Yeah. It's the small stuff.
Yeah.
Might be a way to say it.
Yes.
As opposed to the weightier matters.
And so, yeah, for Jesus then, it's the weightier matters of the law that loom large. And what does he do? Jesus remains faithful to his Father's word, even unto death, that was exhibited in what? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's what Jesus does. That's his whole ministry, by the way. And so Jesus serves his Father who desires mercy. That was 9:13 in Matthew's gospel. Why? So that Jesus will bring God's justice to victory. And what is God's justice? I mentioned this in our previous segment. He will not allow Adam and Eve and their descendants to go to hell, to be damned. He will not allow, he just simply will not allow Satan to be the God of this world. Jesus is, and he comes for his sinners to redeem them, to reclaim them, to take them away from Satan. They are not his possessions. They belong to him. This is the justice. And how does the justice take place? He takes our sin in his body and gets damned with it. And then he gives us for free his righteousness.
And therein, God is justified by his words. Because this is what God the Father said he would do.
Yeah, yeah. Great point. That's Psalm 51, I believe it is, that Paul quotes in his, his watershed epistle to the Romans when he talks about being justified by faith, when he brings up Abraham as the example of, this is what all Scripture spout.
You're not justified in the tithing of mint and dill and cumin. I mean, that's the backdrop of what he's speaking.
Well, yeah, think about it. If you are justified before God in some way, shape, or form by what you do, well, then it makes sense that you will make sure that you take care of the most, the littlest things that you can think of, the minutest things.
Interesting picture being painted for us here, because when you hear justice, you know, at least, you know, we think of scales of justice. So here, imagine the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're scraping out their tenth of the dill on the scales. And it doesn't move the scale a bit. I mean, it's the little things. It's their meticulousness is a nothing.
Yeah. And while their attention is on that, notice their attention is not on God's word, and then their attention is not on the people that they need to help and to serve. And this takes me, you know, to the widow, who, remember, Jesus is watching the widow when she goes and gives her tithe, if you will. And who else is watching her? The ones that Jesus says devours widows.
Right.
Devours them. So they don't even love, and that's my point. They're so concerned about these little things that they forget the weightier matters of the law, which is what? Love your
neighbor.
Yeah.
And believe in this Christ who stands before you.
Right. Verses 25 and 26. We got time?
Yep. We got about 3.5 minutes.
Or do we? Yeah, we need to go there.
25?
Well, 24. You blind guides, straining out a gnat, swallowing a camel. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
That just emphasizes or reinforces what we just said or what we were talking about.
25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, once again. For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Isn't that so true?
Yeah, let's read 27 because it fits as well.
Another woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You look good, but you stink to high heaven.
Yeah, the fig tree looks good, but there's no fruit. All right. So I guess to summarize what we just read, you know, Jesus is a clear cup, if you will. You can not only see the outside, but you can see the inside. And it's all good. It's all clean. Jesus is a clear cup. He is filled with what? The goodness of God, if you will. He is the giver who freely gives to all for everybody to see. But what are the scribes and Pharisees? They're just the opposite again. They have hearts that contradict their outward appearance, hearts that are full of greed and self-indulgence. So again, as you said earlier, he goes to the heart of the matter, exposes them as sinners. You're a sinner. Now again, I notice this is precisely, I know we just have a minute or two, but you know, when you go to church on Sunday morning, you know, a lot of people don't come to church, and there's one big reason why they won't. The old Adam says, no, I'm not going to go to church. Now, they don't talk like this, but this is what's going on. They'll talk differently, but the real talk is this. The old Adam says, I'm not going to go to church because the church speaks like this to me. The liturgy actually talks like this to me. So, for example, let us confess our sins. That's what the liturgy says. And guess what the old Adam says? Nope, not going there. Nope, nope, no way. And then, you know, the pastor in the liturgy says, now let us confess our faith. And the old Adam says, no, not going there. And then the liturgy says, now let us pray to God the Father who sent his son Jesus Christ to die and rise for us. And the old Adam, nope, not going there. You want to know why people want to get rid of the historic liturgy or the liturgy we've been given? That's the answer right there.
Yeah, it attacks the sinner.
That's right. And so the old Adam says to the pastor and to the church, indulge me. Indulge me. Give me what I want. And guess what's happened? We're indulging people. Jesus doesn't do this in Matthew 23. Notice the liturgy that he does. A sevenfold woe. Repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. Woe to you, hypocrites, scribes, and Pharisees. What a liturgy this is, that he actually exposes their sin. That's why when you go to church, one of the main things of liturgy is to say, woe to you, you hypocrites.
Yeah.
And it's not to end there. That's not the end game.
Right. It's not simply to kill the dead, to kill the sinner, but that he might be resurrected. I mean, that's what Easter's all about. It's not just the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks. It's your death and resurrection, baptized into this one, whom God the Father has sent for you and for your salvation. A blessed Easter tide to all.